Hey, welcome everybody to Christ Today. This is Pastor Alfredo Romero from Rock of Life Fellowship Church here in Chico. I have been filling in for John for the past few weeks as he recuperates from an unfortunate car accident. Thankfully, he is going to be coming back soon. He is under the care of his wonderful daughter, and he's going to start doing some of these broadcasts remotely, which is great as he rehabs an arm that we can all pray that comes to quick healing. He did have some damage to his arm from a car accident, and now he's kind of going through therapy to get full use. So I would love to start hearing John Shepherdson again. And it's been really awesome the last few weeks sharing, some thoughts and messages and some perspectives on what is going on in the world and how we as Christians and how we, some of us, or some people out there who may not have that relationship with Christ yet, can consider the fact that Christ is Lord, and he gives us answers for things and prepares us for this world, because what God basically says is we are to live in this world, but once we place our faith in Christ, we're not of this world, which I'm going to be talking about a couple things today. They're going to connect, kind of intertwine, and it's part of a message I gave on Sunday at Rock of Life, and it's about the topic of grace, and when things happen, why do bad things happen to the good people? And that's something we hear a lot. So I'll be talking about two things. One of them is grace, God's grace. And what is it? What exactly is grace? And it's also going to be somewhat of a testimonial, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's going to be some things I'm going to share that I've gone through and my family's gone through, and how I can address to people when they ask me personally, this world's falling apart, and what's going on, and why are all these really bad things happen? I know so many good people out there that's had these horrible things happen, and it wasn't their fault. And, I talk about that a lot, and I get that question a lot. And then the second part is that, what do we do about that? If we're believers in Christ, how do we hang on to our faith and our trust and our hope and everything that God would have us to do to maintain our faith and our trust in God? So that's where grace comes in. So let me start off with a bit of a prayer, please. Dear Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, anybody listening right now, that they would hear the word, that they'd hear the message, and it would bring them closer to you, Lord. And if anybody out there is listening and does not have that relationship with Jesus yet, that'll last for eternity. Lord, I pray that they would start that relationship today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, this is Pastor Alfredo. I'm going to make a side note. As we're recording this message, there are some people outside drilling a sign into the building. So if you hear a little zzz, it's coming from outside. Hopefully it won't be long. All right, so today's topic, why do bad things happen to good people, and what do we do about it? How do we prepare for that as Christians? If you live in Northern California, and hopefully everybody is safe and sound, but the last few years have been really difficult. It has been tough with the fires. If you think about what's been happening to the people in Paradise, I lived in Paradise for 25 years. I lost my home, lost everything in it, ran out of the house, just trying to protect ourselves, our lives. A couple of months before that, my associate pastor passed away from heart failure. In June of 2018, my father passed away. And a few months later, our homes were gone. My daughter's home was gone. My sister's, my niece. And if anybody went through that, you know, God bless you for all that you've done to persevere. And hopefully you're relying on the Lord, because that's the only thing that's got us together. Okay, so why do I say this? Well, because some bad things have happened the last few years to a lot of people in this area in Northern California. And the reason why I'm saying this is because during this time, especially once this COVID, pandemic hit, a lot of people I talked to have basically been asking me, you know, what's going on? Why do these things happen? Why does God allow this? And the people that asked me that usually didn't have faith in God. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. So people would come up to me and ask me, you know, what's going on? And there was a lot of them, especially after the shutdown and COVID and everything. And there was a lot of people coming into the church and asking me or calling me, or I'd run into them and they find out I was a pastor, and they would say, why is God allowing this? You know, what is going on? And that's a really big question, and it takes a while to have the patience to be able to really listen to the answer of why bad things happen to, you know, seemingly good people. And I would tell people right off the bat, I'd say, listen, that's not a quick answer. I just can't say a one-sentence response or a three-minute response that's going to actually suffice for you, that's going to give you some type of peace. Sometimes you need to sit down with people and really explain who God is, what God is about, and what is really good. Are people good? You know, if God's a good God, why does he allow bad things to happen? All these questions. And a lot of the questions that people would ask me literally came out of frustration. A lot of people were angry. A lot of people would come up to me and with this kind of anger. You know, what's happening? Why is God allowing this? And we as Christians, we need to prepare for those kind of questions that we may get. Listen, so that's the first kind. That's kind of the opening. Let me start giving you some word for thought here. You know, what is good? So let's just start there. You know, what is good? Somebody once went up to Jesus and said, you know, good teacher. And he says, wait a minute, why do you call me good? I'm not good. The only one who's good is God. And of course, Jesus is perfect and never sinned. We understand that. But the goodness of God is something we need to understand. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all the people, even the good ones, sin and fall short of glory of God. And so there's a lot of, so let's start there. There's a lot of good people that try to be good and do the right things, but we're not perfect. And we're going to mess up. We'll sin. Even if we don't want to, we may stumble. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one for a lot of people to understand. So I'm going to stay on that for a minute, about good people. And I'll talk about a good God. There was this gentleman that came up to me one time in our church. And he wasn't a believer. And this is a few years ago. And he said, you know, Pastor Alfredo, I've been in your church for a few weeks now, and I'm listening to you. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. Can I meet with you? I said, sure. So I met with him, and he basically started asking me all these really deep questions. And they were the typical questions. Why is Jesus the only way? Why can't you be a believer in this religion, this faith, that faith, or no faith? What if you're just a really good person? Wouldn't that get you into heaven? So we had this conversation about, well, are people really good? And I said, well, no, the Bible says none of us are good. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. I said, you consider yourself a good person? Yeah, he said, I consider myself a good person. Have you ever done bad things? Well, yeah, sure I have. Well, then you're not so good. And I know that's a tough thing to start to say, people, but it's kind of true. We have to kind of put good in perspective, especially in the biblical sense. And the only one that's good is God, the one who created, the one who doesn't sin, who doesn't at all ever do anything wrong. Everything God does is good. Anything bad doesn't come from God. So there was that understanding. We start talking about that. And so we start to understand a little bit. And he says, well, why is Jesus the only way? Why can't a good person? I said, once again, we have this free will. And there's so many Bible verses that talk about God being good. There's the word good is listed over 600 times in the Bible, from Genesis all the way through. Talks about how good God is, that God created light, that was good. It was good he separated the earth from the seas. Good he made night and day. Everything God made, you know, was good. So Okay, so the next question he has is, why do bad things happen to these good people? And I said, listen, there's a lot of things in this world that God never intended. God never intended us to have sicknesses and diseases, and never intended people to murder each other and commit crimes against each other and have all this hate and vitriol and division. God, that's not the world that God created. I said, you know, people made this decision to reject God's ways, the goodness of God. You know, they rejected it. They made their decisions to do things their own way. And that's going to open up the door for mistakes and selfishness and pride and arrogance and self-centeredness. And people want to do things their way, not God's way. And so once we start to understand that, we go, okay, all right, I get it. Man, people, we blow it. We mess up. So God has to get to a point where he tells us, like in John 16:33, there's going to be troubles in this world. We can't be surprised when all this stuff starts to happen because we caused it. We blew it. We rejected God's ways. And now people, that's what we're dealing with. Many scriptures talk about suffering, you know, but yet there's hope and there's things that happen. There's things that happen that if we put our faith and trust in God, he'll prepare us for. There is a lot of different scripture to talk about, like in James, you know, there'll be trials and tribulations, but we can still have joy through all that. We can feel the goodness of God, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. And okay, so what does that mean? Okay, well, the difference between happiness and joy, happiness depends on a situation. Joy depends on God. If I'm putting all my happiness when things are going right, I just would never be happy. But when I'm going through something and I remember how much God loves me and how much he'll support me and he's there for me, and no matter what I've gone through, no matter what's happened, I can still have this joy because God's joy lasts eternal. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I'll back up a little bit. This is Pastor Alfredo from Rock for Life Fellowship. And let me give you just a little bit of more detail. The difference between like happiness and joy. Joy will last because it's from God, if we remember that. Happiness is fleeting. So if you've heard the last few broadcasts, or if you know me, hey, I wasn't happy when our associate pastor died. I'm not happy about that. Yet I had this joy that he served the Lord, that he heard, well done, good and faithful servant, that he wasn't on this earth as long as I wanted him to be or his family wanted him to be. But we still talk about the joy that he gave people. We still talk about his inspiration that he was to people. Rick Stout was a principal of Woodland School, High School, Paradise, Champion Christian School. He served at the university here, Chico State. And so there's great joy in that. I wasn't happy when my father passed away of a sudden heart attack in my arms. Yet I had this joy knowing that he was, he lived a life with the Lord. And I saw all the wonderful things that happened because of my dad and my sisters and the good things he did, especially the last 20 years of his life. He was amazing. I wouldn't be here without him. And I have this great joy in my heart because of that. And I wasn't happy when my house was burned down, but I was full of joy that my family was safe. We lost our material possessions and we're kind of, you know, the finances were tough for a while. But I had this great joy. I had this great joy that, okay, Lord, your word says all this material stuff is temporary anyway. And so there's a lot of things I still miss, like the videos of my kids and the personal effects. But, you know, but I got this great joy that my family was safe and sound and the Lord restored a lot of stuff that we lost. And so I can look at somebody and say, yeah, God is good in any situation. I can see the goodness of God in any situation. And that's what I'm talking about right now. So even when bad things happen, I can still rely on this goodness that God has. And it comes from his love and how much he loves me and how much I can prepare myself against these things that may happen when I put my faith in how much God loves me, when I put my faith in that he's still going to restore, that this life is temporary, that the goodness of God shines through whenever anything happens that is difficult. You know, because many people in the Bible face difficulties. You know, a lot of people. And the Bible isn't always, every story, every retelling of what happened isn't always these happy stories. Some of them end quite tragically. But on the other hand, the end result for those that put their faith in God is that eternal life with God in heaven, where all the things that we went through here on earth were this testing ground for us. It was this opportunity for us to put our faith in Christ, in the midst of all these trials and tribulations. And unfortunately, there's going to be a majority of people that will not put their faith in God. And I'm telling you right now, if you're one of those people that have not put their faith in God yet, and part of the reason is because of all the horrible things that have happened in your life, I'm going to challenge you to really listen about the goodness of God through the various trials and tribulations. I'll give you an example. If somebody's listening and you don't have that faith in Christ yet as your Savior, and you haven't started that relationship yet, that'll last forever. Let me tell you a quick story. I went to a youth group last night, and this wonderful young woman was talking to a bunch of teenagers, and she's telling them about how much God loves them and who they are in Christ and their identity in Christ. One of the young women there I knew, one of the teens there, and I knew what she'd been through. She'd been through some very difficult times, and none of it was her fault. It was one of those things where, her father didn't hold up his end of the bargain of being a good, godly father, a model for her of goodness. That didn't happen. And some other things happened. But I was telling her, despite the things that happened to you, despite the wrongs that have been done to you, the people that disappointed you, the people that let you down, the people that were supposed to be there to love you and encourage you and lift you up and tell you how awesome you are and encourage you. The one that really matters right now is what God thinks of you. See, God thinks you're wonderful. God created you a marvelous work. God thinks and knows that you were created for a purpose, for a reason, that His goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life when people let you down. His goodness will follow you. His mercy will follow you. And mercy is basically withholding a punishment that we deserve when we mess up. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I encourage this young girl to understand what God thinks of her and to remember how much her Heavenly Father loves her, and He will never let her down. He'll never disappoint. That's the kind of relationship we can have, understanding the goodness of God, is how much He loves us, how much He cares about us. God thinks you're marvelous. God gives you skills and talents and gifts He doesn't want you to waste. God wants you to use these gifts and talents and skills for His glory that will bring you joy and peace and comfort and encouragement when the world doesn't give it to you. So talking about the goodness of God, that is what happens. The goodness of God will shine through when we put our faith in Him, because we do live in a world of pain and suffering. The Bible says, God's word says, that it rains on the just and the unjust. Which basically means, look, tough things are going to happen even to the people that try to do their best, to try to be, you know, quote-unquote good. People that have gone through things and, like, for example, if you don't know, my wife, Debbie, has a very serious illness. We've been battling for 18 years. It's best thing I can describe it. It's similar to MS. It's a neurological disease that has robbed her of the use of her body or hands, or can't walk, can't use her hands, and 24-hour numbness and tingling and loss of feeling in her hands, and she needs a lot of care. The reason why I say this is when she first started to develop the symptoms, I had those questions for God, like, God, why now? Why now? We've messed up so much in our lives. We've disappointed you so many times. I've walked in disobedience to you, and it seems like now, when we're trying to get our lives together and place you first, now we're dealing with this disease. Do you know how much that took for us to be able to not walk away from God, because our flesh was angry, disappointed? And I'll talk about this a little bit later on, but still God's goodness shone through. The love and support that we received, my wife being such an encourager and a testimony to faith in the midst of trials and tribulations. We have to understand that God is sovereign. He's in control. We may not see everything, but whatever reason things are allowed, we have two choices in life. We can go through them with God or without God, because life's going to happen. It's going to happen. if you lived a near flawless life and did everything that you could right, life is going to happen. It's not going to go well a lot of times. The Bible even talks about in the final days, whenever that is, you know, next year, next month, next week, 10 years, whatever, we're going to live through some tough times. So the two choices we have are go through life with God or without him. And I'm telling you, it is way better with him. It just is. I've tried to do it alone. I've tried to live life by my own rules, taking care of myself, you know, ignoring God and his plans for me. And it didn't work. I brought more stuff upon me. So remember that. You know, all of us will feel the effects of sin in some way or another. We've blown it. Our world has rejected God, and there's more and more people every day rejecting God and his ways. And it's funny, right? I mean, I'll just acknowledge this for a minute. In the last, since the 60s, people have been, 1960s, right? People have been throwing God out of schools, out of courts, meetings, job. You can't say God. You can't wear a cross. You can't say a Pledge of Allegiance. Can't have prayer in school. You can't, you know, even at work, you can't, some employers say you can't have religious symbols or anything in your cubicles or your office. Trying to change the names of cities just because they mention, you know, angels or God or, you know, Santa Maria or Santa Ana. Oh, that's a saint. You got to get rid of it. So people are busy throwing God out, and then they wonder why all these bad things happen. There's a kind of a famous quote. I think it was attributed to Billy Graham's daughter after 9/11, after the bombing of the towers or by these airplanes. You know, why would God let this happen? Why do God let these horrible things happen? And her response was paraphrasing. Basically, why do these bad things happen? Well, do you expect really good things to happen when we've spent the last X amount of years throwing God out of everything? Nobody wants to have anything to do with God. Atheism is on the rise. So why do you come up to us and question where is God when the majority of our culture and even private and government and corporations have been busy dismissing him, throwing him out? I mean, I've actually even seen, to finish her statement, so why do we call on him now when something bad happens? What? Why do you blame somebody you say you don't believe in? If you don't believe in God, the people you have to blame is man, people, yourselves. And it's pretty much paraphrasing. I even saw people throwing God out of news media. There was an interview with this gentleman who was an athlete. He starts talking about reason for success is God, and suddenly his audio goes out. Oh, I'm sorry. We're having problems with the audio. And we lost the signal. Oh, gee, right when he mentioned Jesus. And I've seen numerous examples of how people will cut God off. And what I'm trying to say, especially to you people that do not have that faith in Christ, and you're just listening because for whatever reason, hopefully because you understand that God has you listening, people are mad at a God they don't believe in. They blame God, a God that they don't believe in. When everything's going right, they'll take credit. And when things go wrong, they blame God. They'll look at the bad things in the world and say, how can God be good? So it's just, I'm trying to make the point of really what's going on here. Who is causing all of this? Now, I know I've talked in the past about, we do have an enemy. We have Satan. He's come to kill, steal, destroy. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want anybody to believe in God. He wants all man, all people, all women, everybody to just depend on themselves and to do what you want, to do what you will. And once again, we're talking about the goodness of God, and we're wondering why bad things happen to good people. Well, like I said, you know, we throw God out, we get rid of him, and then we blame a God we don't believe in when bad things happen. So people have to take a responsibility for their decisions. Now, we talked about this last week or week before, that in the essence, what the Bible says is, God's word says, it's not so much people that we're battling, flesh and blood, it's spiritual forces. It's the spiritual forces and the spirits and the heavenly places and the high places, the principalities and the powers. That's because we have an enemy that wants everything bad to happen. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. He doesn't, once again, our theme for today, he doesn't want you to see the goodness of God. He wants you to live in despair and anxiety and depression. That's what he wants. He wants the bad of this world to overwhelm us so much that we can't see the goodness of God. that all we do is look at the depressing things and the gas prices and the division and the inflation and the crime and all these fighting and the wars and the rumors of wars and what's going on in other countries and the division among the people and the battle for children and who owns the children and all these horrible things that are really happening. So I'm telling you right now, so if we focus on the goodness of God, we'll start to see really who's in control. The enemy thinks he's in control, but God is in control. And how do we get that? Well, we have to look at the goodness of God. The things that he does, the things that he does for us that we don't see, that we don't give God credit for, that help us escape from this madness of this world. You see, God says, we're foreigners. We're not citizens of this world. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we don't belong to this world anymore. It's not ours. We're foreigners here. Our home is in heaven. We're passing by. This is a pit stop on a way to eternal life with Christ in heaven. This is a pit stop. And I know it's a tough one at times. And I've seen people that, I admit, there's people that do not, they really do try their best. And for whatever reason, this crazy, crazy life happens. And something that they didn't really bring upon themselves, but stuff happens. And I'm telling you, they get dissuaded. They go, well, how would God allow this? I've tried my best. I've done my best. And I'm telling you from experience, I didn't want my house to burn down. I didn't want my dad to die in my arms. I don't want my wife to get this disease. I don't want these horrible things to happen. But you know what? Where else am I going to go but to God? And that's the way it is. It's like the disciples, Lord, where else are we going to go? And Jesus says, are you guys going to leave me too? When some of the disciples left Christ, Jesus says, are you going to leave me? And some of the other disciples said, no, where am I going to go? Where are we going to go? Nobody else has the answers. You, we're sticking with you. Because like I said earlier, we got two choices in this world. We can go through life because life's going to happen. The crazy crud is going to happen in life. But we got two choices. We go through life with God or without him. And it is way better with him. Way better. Trust me. Take it from me. I can tell you. I try to live my life through the tough times, the good times, in between times without God. And I wasn't happy. I'd have no joy in my life. I had these moments of happiness because happiness is fleeting. It's situational. It's based on a moment. I'm happy at this moment. And then something happens the next moment, I'm not happy. But like we said earlier, God gives us this joy that's eternal. So I understood that once I turned my life over to Christ, once I walked up to the altar and says, I can't do this anymore. I'm ruining everything. So suddenly I start to realize this joy starts to sit in my spirit. Where even when the tough times happen, I still go, God, I just know you love me. And I know you're rooting for me. And I know you're going to give me tools and things in my life that will counteract all this crazy stuff that's happening. And he did. I mean, suddenly I realized what a ministry God wanted me to have. I was a worship leader for a while. I was in a Christian rock band for a while and going out, you know, evangelizing. We called ourselves musicianaries. And it was in a group called JBC. And then still, I mean, I'm blessed with children. Now I'm blessed with grandchildren. And I've got the best friends I've ever had. And this great ministry, Rock of a Life Fellowship, it's so real and authentic. And I love it. I love the joy and the family atmosphere and these men that support me and these women that love on my wife. And just, so there are times I'm definitely unhappy, but I can hang on to this goodness of God, this joy that he gives me, that gets me through. So back, let me recap again for those that may have just joined us. We hit the half hour mark. We're talking about why bad things happen to good people and what does God do? And what do we do through these tough times? How do we have joy when happiness is fleeting? So what do we do about this? What do we focus on? Number one, I said we focus on the goodness of God. Don't put our trust in men or people, mankind, you know, men, women, people, we'll disappoint each other. We'll disappoint each other. As good as I try to be, I understand I'm not good at heart. I have to fight to be good. It's very easy to be bad. Oh, it's easy for me to do the wrong thing. When I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, it'd be easy to yell and scream and you know, flash signs and symbols. You know, it's easy for me to get mad when somebody's rude to me or I feel unsupported or whatever. It's easy for me to get mad. It's hard to be good. It's hard to do the right thing. our sinful nature, and that's what it is. It's our sinful nature. You know, we have to struggle to be good. It's very easy to do the wrong thing. So we rely on this goodness of God to get us through. So God equips us. So God will give us things. He's the Father of compassion. He gives us things. He comforts us. We share in the suffering of Christ. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, that, you know, those that battle with scars can better help those going through the battles. And we have quite a few scars. They have quite a few scars. That's a great verse, by the way, if you guys want to look that up. It's in 2 Corinthians 1. Just read 2 Corinthians 1. Read the whole chapter. I can tell you some of the stuff that I've gone through has made me more compassionate towards people. Starting with my wife, I used to be very non-compassionate towards people. I could write people off pretty simple and pretty easy. If I ever felt crossed or backstabbed or betrayed in any way, I'd just go, oh, you know what? You're dead to me. You could have been my friend for 10 years, saw you every day, you know, barbecues on the weekend. And if I felt stabbed in the back or I felt betrayed or not supported, you did one thing wrong, I have literally written people off in my life, in my past, and said, nope, you're dead to me. You're done. I could never, you hurt me one time, you're out. That's it. There's the door. And one of the things that God worked on me on when I saw the goodness of God rededicating myself to the Lord, I saw that I needed to forgive. I needed not carry offenses. I need to stop walking in pride and arrogance, thinking that I'm the only one that's ever right. I still struggle with that, my wife would say. I made a bunch of phone calls to people. I was calling people. I was like sending emails. And if I didn't have their phone number, I was writing letters or emails, or if I were close by, I'd visit them. I'm apologizing. I'm saying, I'm sorry. My fault. My bad. I'm so sorry. Whether you forgive me or not, just know that I'm sorry. You know, I just want to, the goodness of God, I see that, and I see my mistakes and error. So I was, I mean, if I didn't have your phone number or whatever, I was like emailing, whatever. So I just saw the goodness of God, and I just saw how much God supported me through these tough times. And I realized it was me, it was my sinful nature that was bad. You know, and we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. This is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. We walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. And the reason why I say that is because when I don't understand what's going on in life, when I don't get why bad things happen, I have to realize that I don't have all the answers. God does. And he may reveal some to me and not reveal some to me. So I have to trust him and understand that he's sovereign, he's in control, and in the end, it's going to be okay. All right, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to talk about a very important thing that God does for us. I talked about it at our church service last Sunday. It was pretty much my key message. And it's what God does for us. And I'm going to tell you, it's grace. It's grace. It's the good news of Jesus. It's basically the essence of the Gospels. In Acts 20-24, the good news of God's grace. See, the goodness of God has really a lot to do, if not everything, to do with grace. It's this thing that he gives us that we don't deserve. And I can't stress the importance enough to everybody that's listening right now, whether you have that relationship with God or not, that you need to hear this. It's God's grace that gets us through, and I want to describe this to you and make it kind of personal and give you somewhat of a testimony. See, it's important to know what God's grace is and how it works in our lives. The biblical definition of grace is, comes from the New Testament. This is the New Testament, actually. God's grace, this is the New Testament. It's from the Greek word charis, charis. It means favor, blessing, or kindness. It's defined as God's favor, get this, God's favor towards the unworthy, or God's benevolence on the undeserving. In his grace, God is willing to forgive us and bless us, despite the fact that we fall short of living righteously because we're not good. Our people is not, we're not good people. Our sin doesn't deserve God's grace, but here's the thing. He gives it anyway. God gives us this unmerited favor and blessing when we don't deserve it. See, Romans 3:23 nails it, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's kind of God's grace saying, hey, I got this. Since you guys all messed it up, I got this. One of my foundational scriptures is Romans 5:1-2, and it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what does that mean? All right. Well, first of all, listen, because this is important. I believe everybody listening, we need to understand this. I believe that we need this. See, God shows us both grace and mercy, but they're not the same. Mercy withholds a punishment we deserve. The punishment for our wrongdoing and our sins, we deserve it. Mercy withholds that from us. In mercy, God chooses to cancel our sin debt by sacrificing his perfect son in our place. That's in Titus 3:5 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. Titus 3:5 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. You see, and that changed how I looked at the goodness of God when it comes to grace and mercy. So when I see somebody doing something wrong and I'm feeling sorry, I go, oh, no, please don't do that. And I'm looking at the news, or I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh, God, you know, I'm changing the way I use the words grace and mercy now, because I would say, oh, God bless them. You know, bless them. No way. Now I'm saying, God, have mercy on those people. Help them see your light, Lord. Help them have that Holy Spirit experiences where you reveal yourself to them and they see it and they change and they repent and they go the other way. God, let your mercy shine upon them, Lord, so they can see you. And so that's different, right? And now the way I say grace, knowing that first God's word calls grace a gift, you know, it's this blessing we don't deserve. Now I'm like, you know, God, when I see somebody struggle, maybe they're not doing anything wrong, but they're just struggling, maybe with their faith or with hope or depression, anxiety. I'm saying, God, let your grace shine upon them. You know, that's this blessing that we don't deserve when we struggle at times. You know, God, let your grace pour out. You know, let us see the true blessing of your grace. So here's how God uses grace. All right, two ways. I'm gonna really break it down for you. God uses grace first, like I said, as a gift. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace you have been saved through your faith, and not of ourselves. Nothing we can do, because we ain't good enough. We'll blow it every time. For by grace you have been saved through faith, putting your faith in God, saying, God, I can't do this on my own. Jesus, it's about you now. It's not about me. Fill me up with your spirit, Lord. I'm turning around. I'm putting my faith in you, because I'm going to blow it every time. I'm looking for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, putting my faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. I confess you as Savior. This, I'm talking about faith right now, and how we're saved through our faith, saying, I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ, who lived, died, rose again for me, and I'm repenting of my sins. I'm turning back from trying to do it my way. Lord, it's your way. I love you. I put my trust, my faith in you. All right, so Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, because grace is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone would boast. In other words, there's nothing we can do to earn grace, God's favor, earn salvation. No. If there was something I could do, if I said this prayer this many times, if I helped this many old ladies across the street, if I opened up this many doors for this person, or gave money out to these people, or I did these good deeds, would that get me into heaven? No, because the next day I'll just blow it. I'll do something stupid. I'll walk in anger. I'll walk in lust. I'll say something. I'll do something I shouldn't have. And there goes all my works out the window. Grace is something we don't deserve, yet God gives us anyway. And here's how it works. The only way any of us can enter into a relationship with God is because of his grace towards us. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What are these gifts? All right, okay, let's say God's grace comes and is broken down in a whole bunch of packages, all right? So God gives you these gifts, this gift of grace, and I'm going to break it down, okay? You ever see those boxes, those gifts? It's like a little box, another box, another box. You open it, and there's another box. All these little boxes, all right, and every box is a different gift. All right, check this out. Because of God's gift of grace, he offers us forgiveness. That's in Hebrews 8:12 and Ephesians 1:7. Because of God's grace, he gives us reconciliation. He mends our broken relationship with Father God. God's grace gives us victory over sin. That's in James 4:6. God's grace gives us eternal encouragement and hope and a life of abundance, a escape from the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God's grace gives us this eternal treasure, life in heaven. God's grace gives us his Holy Spirit. God's grace gives us this eternity with God in heaven when we place our faith in Jesus as Savior. You don't have to memorize all that. If you go to Rock of Life Fellowship's Facebook page, on Facebook, Rock of Life Fellowship, go to our Facebook page, scroll down a little bit through the messages. You can download these notes. But that's what God's grace does. He gives us all this. God's grace, listen, that's God giving us the greatest blessing, treasure ever to the least deserving, all of us. And if we decide to receive this gift, it's not a loan. There's no regifting. We get to keep it. God doesn't require repayment. Jesus paid the price. We owe nothing. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." That's what it means. God had it. He gave it to us for free. We take on that gift, even though we didn't deserve it. And now because we have God's grace, now we're rich. Now we are the ones that have something of value that's worth something. Not material stuff. I mean, God's grace, it's ours forever. And one kind of a side note here. So of all these, remember a while ago, like 20 minutes ago, I told you about this friend of mine that gave his life to the Lord a few years ago. But when he first came into the church, he was just kind of looking for answers. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus, but yet he was looking for answers. And we met for a while and we were talking. And one of his questions was, you know, what about all these good people in the world that don't get into heaven? So let me tell you the difference between belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know, Christianity, the truth of the Bible, true Christianity, belief in Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Trinity, you know, God, three in one, the absolute truth of the Bible, from the first word to the last word, that we put our faith in no one else other than Jesus Christ, life, death, resurrection. And I know I keep saying that, but I want to make sure it's really clear, because the enemy's out there throwing a lot of deception out there about what Christianity is or isn't, who Jesus is or isn't. I want to make sure it's really clear. All right, so here's the difference. This is one of the things I told him when he asked me about, well, what about all the good people, about the great things they do? Doesn't that get them into heaven? So here's the difference between all those other religions and belief in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's grace. Grace. I could name all these, and you could probably think about them. There's a lot of religions out there that say, if you do this, you'll get into heaven. Your salvation is based upon your works. If I mission out these many people, and if I do this and I abstain from this, I'll get into heaven. Then my salvation is secure. There's some religions that will tell us, you don't even know after all the stuff that you've done is required of you, if you even will make it into heaven until you get there, then the decision will be made whether you get to stay or not. that's lies. That's not true. None of us deserve to get into heaven. It's God's grace, this free gift that he gives us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the one and only Jesus Christ of the Bible, okay? The one and only Jesus Christ, Lord of the Bible, when we put our faith in him, God's son, who he gave us his son because he loved the world, that we wouldn't perish, but we have everlasting life. For those that put our faith, confess Christ as Lord, believe in our heart, confess with our tongue that Jesus is Lord, and receive his Holy Spirit, so we become temples. The Holy Spirit resides in us. All right, that's what we're talking about here. We don't deserve any of that, but God gives it to us anyway when we receive that. To be able to go to Christ and go, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've ignored you my whole life. I've heard the truth, but now is the time I feel I want that life with you now. I've tried it my own, and I've messed it up. I messed it up, God. Just fill me up with your spirit, Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess. I repent. Turn away from my sins, doing things my way. I want to spend eternity with you, Lord. I know you died and rose again just for me. Let me start that relationship with you today that lasts for forever. That's what God's grace does. God's grace is the greatest blessing ever that we don't deserve, but he gives it anyway. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, 9-10 says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I." In other words, I worked hard. I did all this stuff, but hey, not me though. I didn't do it. But the grace of God that was with me, that's what happened. It didn't matter what I did. So if you know somebody that thinks they get into heaven because of the works they did, you can show them 1 Corinthians 15:9 through 10, where Paul is saying, no, I worked harder than all of them, yet not me. I didn't do it. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. The grace of God that was within me, that's what happened. That's how we understand the grace of God. That's how God's grace works in our lives. The first way, it's a free gift and for our salvation. The second way, God's grace continually will work in our lives. It's a gift that keeps on giving. God's grace works constantly in our lives because we need it, not because we deserve it. We need it. And that's the big difference. When you're talking to somebody, you know, for those followers of Christ that are listening, and you're trying to explain to them who Jesus is, do not leave out the need for a Savior. We need a Savior. This isn't some option. Hey, whether I take it or not, it'll be okay. No, we need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need him because we're not making it out of this world without him. You know what happens if we leave this world without Christ? We end up in eternal separation from him. That's hell. Eternal separation, the gnashing of teeth, the anxiety, that burning is that feeling of, oh my, what did I do? I'll never feel love. I'll never feel goodness anymore. I'm eternally separated from everything that is good. That's torture. Being ending up separated from God for eternity, nobody to tell you it's going to be okay. Nobody to tell you tomorrow's going to be better. Nobody says, oh, I love you. Let me put my arm around you and comfort you. There's no comfort. I don't want that. We need Jesus. We need that. Because I don't want to be separated from God for eternity. You know, paraphrasing a lot of times is basically saying, I am someone who has sinned and sins when I don't want to. And I acknowledge I'm in need of God's grace. So I got about 8 more minutes here. So I don't know if you're taking notes. You can always listen to this podcast on the KKXS website. But if you want to look at notes from this message, you can also go to Rock of Life Fellowship Facebook account and our page, and there's notes on there. But I am going to rattle off how I know God's grace continually works in my life and how God's grace continually works in your life, despite my sin, despite what I do. Romans 5:20-21 says, where sin is abound, grace abounds much more. You understand that? That's amazing. All right, I'm gonna go through this. How do we know God's grace continually works in our lives? Despite what happens, that's how we started off. Despite all the horrible things that happen in this world, how do I see the goodness of God? I'm looking at his grace right now. Here's your highlight. Grace gives us access to communicate and fellowship with God. That's in Ephesians 1:6. That's how I know God's grace continually works in my life, because it gives me access to communicate with God, to talk with him, to listen to him. Grace shows us and trains us that it even disciplines us to live in a way that honors God. That's in 2 Corinthians 8:7. Grace, that gift that keeps on giving. Grace spiritually blesses us constantly. Proverbs 10:22, Ephesians 2:7. Grace spiritually blesses us constantly. And here's the big thing. When we started talking a little bit earlier about why do bad things happen to good people and where do we go in our time of need, grace is found in our time of need. If you're in trouble right now, you've done something or somebody's done something to you and you're hurting, you're in pain, and you're in this time of need, I need something, you need God's grace. read Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16, grace is found when we are in our time of need. Why? Because grace preserves us, comforts us, encourages us, tells us we have value, strengthens us. That's in 2 Corinthians 13, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, and 2 Timothy 2. Grace is greater than our sin. Romans 5:20. More abundant than we could ever expect. God does above and beyond anything we could even hope or expect. That's in 1 Timothy 1:14. Grace is so amazing. Grace is so wonderful. I'm at a loss for words. That's in 2 Corinthians 9:15. It's too wonderful for words. Sitting in the presence of God, just soaking in his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love, it's too wonderful for words. Sometimes, instead of talking to God and asking him for things, try sitting down in the presence of God and just listening. Just listening. Just hearing God's voice. He's going to tell you he loves you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. Grace is continually active and working in our lives. That is amazing. All right, I got a few more minutes. I want to end with this. You guys know my wife is ill. We've been battling this disease for 18 years. We went to Mayo Clinic in Arizona last week. I was gone for a week. And we go to these doctors. We've gone to San Francisco. We've gone to UC Davis, a few other places looking for some type of answers to a disease that the doctors say is going to continue. There's no cure. It's a neuropathy, similar to MS. If you ever want to look it up, it's called CIDP. CIDP, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. Her nerves are attacking, her antibodies are attacking her nerves, stripping them of all the covering. It's misfiring like crazy, giving her extreme tingling, numbness, lack of feeling, loss of motor skills. It's just deteriorating her body. So we go to the Mayo Clinic to talk to a surgeon, a hand surgeon. We're trying to save her hands. Surgery, injections, anything, because she's losing the use of her hands. So we go down there, and they basically talk to these great, wonderful people, just fantastic. But they say, you know, you've got an unusual case. You're pretty sick. There's really nothing we can do for you. So we left still encouraged and still trying to lift each other up because of our faith, because of the goodness of God, because bad things happen to good people. But our faith and our hope is in Jesus. It's in God. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? How can we do that? We do that because Paul asked the Lord three times to take a thorn that was in his side. And it didn't happen. God didn't take this thorn out of his side. Paul basically says, you know, Lord, I've asked you three times. It hasn't happened yet. This is in 2 Corinthians 12. Basically, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses. For Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I'm strong. So we walked out of there saying basically, God's grace is sufficient. That's what we have. Because the world let us down, our body, for whatever reason, God be glorified. That's what we say. God be glorified through this. And if you know my wife, Debbie, she's amazing. She's that example of a person that basically had everything go wrong. Her dad died of a stroke. Her mother died of cancer. Lost her home. Lost the use of her body. And yet, she says, isn't God good? She gets up in front of the church every Sunday, whether she delivers a message or does communion or does an offering or does a short message or announcement. She goes up there in her scooter with her hand shaking, can't hold a microphone, smiling, God's light shining down on her, Holy Spirit shining through, and she'll usually say, "Isn't God amazing? Isn't God good? Isn't God just amazing?" Job, if you don't know the story of Job, everything went wrong with him. He lost his family, his wealth, his friends weren't being supportive, going through intense physical pain and suffering. His wife even told Job to give up. This is in Job 2. Job felt that his life was over. The only thing he had left to do was die. But Job says, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will trust him." That's amazing. That is amazing. That's faith. That's realizing the goodness of God. I hope this message helped you. This is Pastor Alfredo from Rock of Life Fellowship. We are open on Sundays, 10 a.m. for our service. We have Bible studies and men's and women's and youth gatherings through the week. If you're interested, go to rockoflifechico.org. You can visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and you can even go to our YouTube page, Rock of Life Fellowship, and view every sermon I've pretty much ever done or anyone's ever given at Rock of Life. Jesus is real, he's relevant, and he loves you, and he just wants a relationship that lasts forever. God bless you. This is Pastor Alfredo for Christ Today. Holy Spirit, burn inside.